coming? Because this is the BTB Gorilla Zone. You are tuned back in. So go ahead and tell a friend to tell a friend that gorillas are checking in. And I am BTB Gorilla alongside my homeboy, y'all host.
BTB Swaggy, what's going on, man? Hey, y'all know the motto by this point. Hey. It's all love. Hope everybody having a great week, great day, great year. You know, we just all going up this year, man. Just prayers to everybody.
I hope at this point y'all know that I am no longer the host of the BTB Gorilla Zone. I'm more like the filler. I'm like, you know, like that hype man, like, you know, the hype, your best friend, that's the hype man that's always going, that's pretty much, you know, how the role I play. I accentuate the program.
That's how that goes. You know what I mean? That's how that goes. Also, before we dive into it, we just want to start this off now, because I know I'm gonna probably forget later. We have some new merch available. Please go check it out. I know it took a little minute, because if you've seen from the previous YouTube videos, which you can also check out at the btbrevolution.com. But yeah. Long story short, we got new merch available, man. Make sure you go check that out along with some other things. Did you have anything to add?
Most definitely. Make sure you guys check out the previous interview we did with Robert Kiesling.
Yes.
BTB's got a lot of things going on, and you got to stay tuned and be a part of the BTB Revolution Troop Squad. We appreciate y'all. We have another interview coming up. That's going to be with Miss Naomi Keys. And then we have Splashy coming in from the 410. So there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of information. And then there's just a lot of different characters and different people and stuff that you don't want to miss out on. Everything is a learning, you know, process, you know, so. Learn something, be entertained, and enjoy the show.
So being that, you know, you already touched up on some of those things, you know, diving right into it, you know, this is where the Gorilla Zone start. So basically, I know we spent a lot of time, Troop Squad, covering the big name artists with some beef. But like Gorilla said, we got some, you know, up and coming underground artists that y'all can listen to that we about to put on the platform. So that way, you know, it just give a whole new avenue on what you want to listen to. The first one I want to start off is with Naomi Key, rap name Bad Key, if I'm not mistaken. Based out of Buckhead, Georgia, you know what I'm saying? She representing down south. When you hear her music, what is your vision of her as an artist? Because, you know, we've seen her do an interview. So when you look at her.
After the homework and stuff?
Yeah, because I think y'all worked before. Y'all were in talks or working before or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, we were. I don't know if she was. I believe she did do an interview with the Gorilla Zone, or she was about to. I think she was about to, but
so yeah, being that, you know, yeah. The Gorilla, you know what I'm saying? Before, like you said, I think you said she did an interview, but what was, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure that people would like to know what is, you know, who is Naomi Key?
I mean, well, we're going to dive into that during the interview. But for what I can tell people, for one, she's a female artist. I can't say just like a hip hop artist or anything like that, because I know she makes a variety of music, and a variety of music for a variety of genres or in different genres. I feel like she is, as an artist, I feel like she's a woman that wants recognition for being, original. That's the vibe I get from her. I feel like that's what she wants, is recognition for being original. I feel like from what I heard off the last song that I heard, which was off of a mixtape for BMF and what was it, YMB? It was something in BMF. I have to look at it.
You said it was YBM.
YBM BMF. That joint was hard. I like that. I like the flow of it and different things like that. But so, like I said, she's a female artist and that's looking for, you know, that wants recognition. You know what I'm saying? That's what I get out of it so far. I do feel like from our past conversations that she is more of a, like a, I would say, a spiritual individual type. I don't want to phrase it wrong. You know what I mean? I really don't want to put the wrong name on it because I feel like she's like in tune with herself and the energies of the world and stuff like that, but I don't want to put the wrong label on it. But yeah, nah, past that, I feel like, you know what I mean? I feel like any female artist fighting in the game can provide a great outlook on a lot of different situations. You know what I'm saying? Especially with what we got going on right now in the headlines, the blinders that they throwing on with all this Diddy stuff and everything, and the sex trafficking. I do believe she's also has an interview or something like that coming up about sex trafficking. So we'll get to dive into a lot of that with her as well.
She does.
So
I believe she said she is doing one.
Yeah. So, you know, hardworking woman from what I get out of it. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, that's how I get out of that's the vibes that I get. Everything else personality wise and all that other stuff. Well, Troop Squad, y'all are going to get to see that. Y'all are going to get to make those judgments and things for yourself because that's not for me to do here on this platform.
Nor is it for me because
this is for me to present, you know, that we, you know, and then y'all can, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to give.
We rather, how can we say it? I'd rather put her out there. I'd rather put her on the platform and they construct their own opinion.
Yeah. Like we're gonna ask the questions. We're gonna allow the opportunity for, you know, for them to tell you what they need to tell you for you to make decisions about how you feel about their music, how you feel about them as a person, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's like I said, it's just about the information. You know what I'm saying? You might there might be an artist on here or an author on here or a comedian or anybody, somebody promoting a brand. You might not support their brand. You might not support their music or their artwork. But if you are a creator, I'm sure that you can learn something from the journey and, you know what I mean, and what they're doing in some fashion, whether it's what to do or what not to do. And if you are a person that enjoys, you know, the artwork or the craft or wants to buy somebody's merchandise or whatever they're doing or show support, then like I said, then this is a place where you can find and listen to what they got to say. You know what I'm saying? So, but I'm interested. I can't wait. Let me see. Matter of fact, I'm going to check right now while we up. I'm going to check right now and see if we got a time. Shit, I can't even play this joint out loud because that would be disrespectful. So let me in.
So, but yeah, I'm going to take over while he listening to that. But like I said, it's pretty much an underground artist. We want to bring a different light to it. You know what I'm saying? Troop Squad. We always looking to give out opportunities and
for sure.
And we for sure want people to branch theyself and put theyself out there for multiple opportunities. You know what I'm saying? Just to come. So we always gonna be on that side to help the cause. If you got a purpose, we always down to help it.
She said 6 or 7 or 8. So we're gonna go for the 8.
Yeah, I'll go for 8.
Let's go for the 8. So Troop Squad, we are going to have Miss Naomi Key in here at 8 o'clock. Excuse me. Well, it's going to be around there. You know what I mean? You guys, you look for it around 8 o'clock. And, you know, because, you know, there was a range. So I can't, you know, I might say this time. She might say, well, you know, so around 8 o'clock.
I'm so right. 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So if we're doing it at 8 o'clock, y'all can expect it around 10, 11. Because it's going to have to go through the process and whatever or not.
Yeah, so look for that. That's going to be out here for y'all. And then...
See it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Naomi Key. She will be on here later, as you see. Later on today, she will be on here.
Her Instagram joint. Her Instagram is the official Naomi underscore Key. And yeah,
and don't worry, I'll put a blimp on there. For if you have trouble spelling it, that I believe that is her name. Also for TikTok, I believe it's probably for all her socials, ain't it? She got TikTok. It's the same name for TikTok.
I believe it is.
You type in Naomi Key on YouTube, you can literally just do that, and her channel will pop up on there. You can do the same for her Facebook. Right. I believe TikTok and Instagram. It is the official Naomi underscore Key. And you can also find her on SoundCloud as well and check out some of her music on there. And I also wanted to ask you, bro, you know what I'm saying? Being that she's an underground artist, do you feel like she's going to have to work a little harder now? Because I did a little research and, you know, she is signed to, I believe, Warner Music Group Philippines. But she even said in an interview that they backshelved her. So as an artist... as an artist, I'm pretty sure you understand how it feels you have an understanding how it feels to get back show from the stuff that you've seen, not necessarily. That's why I had to word it differently.
Not no disrespect or nothing like that, but every label situation that I've had outside of BTB,
from what you've seen,
I got my bread, we was out there, you know what I'm saying?
From what you've seen.
But no, for sure.
So for her, she's going to have to work 10 times harder?
I mean, I feel like, no, I don't think she has to work 10 times harder than anybody else. I feel like as an independent artist in general, as a artist in general, you have to work 10 times, 20 times, sometimes like an infinite amount of times harder than everybody else. That is what makes the artist. That is what makes the value in the art now, because there are so many artists. There are so many fucking artists. And I'm not going to take away from no artist. You know what I mean? But what makes me better than the next artist is that I'm not going to stop, and I'm going to keep on compounding and working and making it and giving everything that I got and everything that I don't got and this, that, and the other, because I know that there's other people that are trying to get their work out there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's just what it is. Even if you with a label, let your ass not fucking, you got to fucking, that label deals come with an amount of albums. You know what I mean? Like they're saying, you're going to put in this work. You know what I'm saying? You can't leave this deal until we get these 8 albums, these 6 albums. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, no, you got to put in the work no matter what. I don't feel like she facing, as far as in a underground art, independent artist. Yeah, no, I feel like that's a myth. I feel like people create that situation because of the belief of it, but it's not, I don't think it's real like that.
So I'd like to clarify, because like I said, bro, I'm completely unsure. Is she independent or is she signed? Because
I don't know. We're going to find that out, because like you said,
like I know. And when I'm looking at the interview, it's like, she's like, yeah, you know, I'm signed with Warner Music Philippines,
but then she shows up that she's signed. Like I said, I don't know.
So yeah, that's something I'll have to ask her myself to get a clear answer.
Yeah, do you know I want to know. I'm sure the troop squad wants to know. You know, the people probably want to know. Other labels or interested parties might want to know.
But Warner Music Philippines, I never heard that.
There's a lot of side. There's a lot of labels that are off to the sides off of their parent companies.
I did look them up. They have.
I was signed. My first record label deal was with Virgin. Was it Virgin South was it Virgin and D Block South?
Virgin and D Block South.
Yeah, like Virgin with the red writing and shit. Like yeah, that was my first deal was with Virgin and D Block South. So it was like Like, you know what I mean? You don't, nobody fucking knew fuck D-Block. So, you know, it was never, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, people know who Virgin Records was, but even now they're another situation, I believe. You know what I'm saying? But they're all underneath of major labels.
So do labels like that typically have trouble when they're signing like a whole bunch of artists?
What do you mean?
Like when they have a whole bunch of artists, is it typically hard for them, for those labels to kind of manage other than the major labels?
No, because that's the beauty of it. Think of it like this, right? So your minor labels underneath of your majors, they're like a minor league baseball team. So once you start, like, if you are a fucking superstar and a hitter, the parent company is coming down to come get you. The major league team is coming down to come get you. You know what I'm saying? And that's just straight up. They're not going to let fucking the minor company keep you. It's not even going to work like that. You feel what I'm saying? So, yeah, that is how that's going to work. Nope.
So if the top major label wanted her, they could snatch her from Warner Music Philippines? So like, even if she had a contract with them?
Yeah, because they're part of it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just like, what's the name? Like, fuck. Let me pull up fucking, because Warner Music Company, they have a bunch of fucking little minor subsidiaries or whatever you would call them. I'm not sure how it would be called, but like that, but it's probably a subsidiary. Let me see. Warner Music Group Minor Labels. List of Warner Music Group labels. Flagship labels. Atlantic Records Group. 300 Elektra Entertainment. Warner Records. Parlophone Label Group. Names that you never heard of. You feel what I'm saying? But who is they parent group? You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's just one of them things. So, Rhino Entertainment. Warner Music Nashville. You know, it's like I said, it's just one of them things, bro. Yeah, now they come in, they come up in there. And look at, there's a lot of them joints. Atlantic Records, Russia, Asylum Records. And they call them flagship labels and stuff.
Man. Yeah, that's crazy. So, but, yeah, Troop Squad, that'll be Naomi Key. You'll be able to get a further, really a deep dive into it when we bring her onto the show later, of course. So, you know, all the questions that I have, I'm pretty sure it will be answered. If you have any, I'm pretty sure any questions that you have also will be answered.
Damn.
What happened?
Because, like, I'm just looking at all this shit underneath Atlantic Records Group, right? So it says list of Warner Music Group labels. And then it has the flagship labels, not cut you off. And it has Atlantic Records, Elektra Records, whatever. So when you click on Atlantic Records, nigga, they got a Sniper Gang.
Damn.
They got motherfucking, Taylor Gang.
Taylor Gang.
Fucking, what's the name? The fucking fuck Wiz and shit.
Oh, I was about to say. I'm about to look at the Troop Squad. What the fuck is it?
Like, who the fuck is Taylor Gang? Damn, Wiz, you out of there right now.
So transitioning from Naomi Key to, the next, I forgot his name.
Splashy.
Yeah,
410. Yeah.
Like, born and raised.
I don't know. We gotta ask him.
Have you worked with him in the past?
Yeah, for sure.
So what is he like? Basically, the same question, because I know, being that you worked with him,
yeah.
What's he like? Is he energetic? Splashy? Is he funny? Yeah, who's Splashy?
He funny, he energetic. He a good soul. Splashy a good soul. I fuck with Splashy. He's a good artist. I like his energy. And I feel like he one of them people that got caught in like that Merlin just mentality of like, not him having a mentality, but the supporters. You know what I'm saying? Because he's really talented and he does good numbers and different stuff like that, but nowhere near the recognition that he should. And that was why we had signed him to BTB back in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like, you know, with everything that we do working together and different places with the networks, we felt like he deserved much more recognition. but we never got to, we recorded a lot of music. We got a lot of music in the vault, but we ain't never released nothing. So, but yeah, nah, Splashy dope. Splashy dope. He real smoothy, laid back. He not like rowdy and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
So how did that link up come about? Like, how did you meet him?
Well, Splashy? Man.
And was he Splashy before you met him? Or did, was yeah. that a name that, okay.
Yeah,
did you Splashy ask him, before. Why did they call him Splashy? That's two questions, but.
I mean, at first I wondered, but it was like, he had a, like, he had said it in the song. He it was like, shit. It was like, Splashy nigga got that drip on my neck. Something like that, like, you know what I'm saying? It was like, oh, okay, I get it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, this nigga dripping so much, he's splashy. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, I got you. Like, and he is one of them where he a fly nigga. Like, he wear fly shit. Nigga dressed, you know what I mean? And nigga, the way he talk, he, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm like, okay, I got you. You are, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a attention grabber, like, with the way that he does things. You know what I'm saying? Like, the, so I got that type. But nah, I don't, you know what I mean?
So how'd you meet him? How'd that link up come about?
Oh, the meeting? I met Splashy through Billy Boy Crank. Billy Boy Crank. Yeah, he was another artist and stuff. And his, you know, he got, you know, people, when you make music, you know other people that make music and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So it was just on some business shit, some artists introducing artists and business people and stuff. And, we, you know, that was all it really was. It was really something simple. Met him in the Gorilla Zone one day. You know what I mean? He came through down to the Gorilla Zone. Actually, or did I meet him in the hood first? I think I might have met him, went and met him up, like, you know what I mean, up in the hood, up, you know what I mean, at the spot first. I think I did. And then, you know what I'm saying, he came down and shit, but, you know what I mean? Either way, it wasn't a whole lot of shit to it. It wasn't like no crazy story or nothing like that. You feel me? It was simple. It was simple. He said that, you know what I mean, he made music. He told me what type of numbers that he wanted to get down with the camp, and we came to an agreement, and that was, you know what I'm saying?
So, like, being that you was... So, being that you've dealt with multiple labels, as an artist, what are some of the things that you can talk about that happens behind the scenes that a regular person don't see when dealing with record labels? And that's, you know, that's why I say if you can speak on it or something that you can speak on.
Oh, man, shit. Look, this is the Gorilla Zone and this BTB. And, you know... Our record label underneath of our production company allows me to say whatever the fuck I want. So, nah, I will say, dealing with record labels as an artist, like, if you're first meeting them and you're not the big fish, which most people are not going to be, it's weird. They first show you all the different studio rooms and... they show you the facility and the buildings and the sound stages and introduce you to some of their writers and different things like that. They talk about your image and make you feel comfortable as possible at first and shit. And then it'd be like they be trying to fucking make niggas make you feel like you should be younger and stuff. They talk to you about like how to your industry age and stuff, and how to portray yourself in the light, like, for a consumer. You know what I mean? They basically start grooming you right off the bat to treat yourself like a product.
You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, when you say industry age, could you, like, possibly, like, elaborate on that more? Like, what is...
Yeah, so, like, at the time that I learned about the shit, I think I was, like, 23, 24, something like that. You know what I'm saying? And motherfucker was like, they already had all my paperwork and everything, but he was like, the dude asked me, he was like, so how old is you or whatever? I'm like, You know what I mean? I tell him, you know what I'm saying? And he like, see, that's where you messed up already. He was like, you should, he's like, your industry age is 21 or whatever, 18, something like that, 19. He's like, because that's what you look. And that's going to be, you're going to appeal to a younger crowd that, that consumes more of this, that, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's what the industry age is. Your industry age is the age that you can maintain your whole industry persona. Even if you got a girlfriend and all that shit, you ain't got a girlfriend now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really got a girl, but you ain't got a girl now. Not in the industry. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, she my girl. I go see Shorty. I'm going to go see Shorty right after I leave out the studio or whatever. No, bro. Yeah, that's cool. But on paper, on camera, she ain't nowhere allowed around this shit. You feel me? Like, on paper, she not allowed around this shit. On paper, industry shit, they make you sign a contract where you can't smoke cigarettes. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't smoke cigarettes. You know what I mean? So,
and so, do they like? was it almost like they was trying to like take control or some shit?
I feel like it's definitely about control and preservation of the product for them. Because, like I said, like once you're outside the situation, you realize, because you know, you go shopping all the fucking time. You know what the fuck a product is. You know what ad placement is and product placement and shit like that. Like, you know how, you know, products are treated. And then you looking back and like, okay, that's exactly like, you know what I mean? That's all they trying to do. That's it. Yeah. So the whole thing is all about control and keeping you so as though consumers want to consume whatever they're producing of your image and shit. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the thing about it. It's, that is what it is. Once, I, like I said, they introduced me to writers and shit. They told me straight off the rip, like, yeah, we love your image. We love your voice, this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? But it, what they ain't nobody said was that we love your writing and this, that, and the other. So right off the rip, they already introducing me to people that they telling me, well, yeah, this guy here, he's going to be writing this, and this guy writes too, and you'll get to work with both of them, and dot, dot, dot. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, right off the rip, right off the rip. Yeah.
So is it like, why do they always try to like appeal to a younger audience rather than just appealing to the ones that genuinely like the shit?
Because of the numbers. The numbers don't lie. Mom and dad spend more money providing their teenagers and shit with the content. You know what I'm saying? Them Apple bills for Apple Music and them Spotify fucking spins and the YouTube and all that shit. That's all. Yes, everybody consumes it. But the younger generation, the younger people, they consume it a lot more. And they spend a lot more. You know what I'm saying?
They definitely do spend a lot more. I mean, yeah. I seen a statement from, I don't even know if it was real or not, but it was supposed like a monthly jump for Drake's merch that he got going on. And it was like crazy. And it was like most of the buyers is like 10 through 15, I think.
Bro, just like Taylor Swift, you know what I'm saying? Like,
now the Swifties, they,
yeah,
they
like crazy. My daughter, bro, like she, my daughter is more of like an 8.5. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, for her to be in love with Taylor Swift and Beyonce and shit and trying to get me to buy all this stuff and stuff, I know where the money be coming from. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm like. I myself can tell you. Yeah, damn, it's crazy. But yeah, the damn kids is like, they want that shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's that image, you know? If Taylor Swift didn't have that sweet American girl image and stuff like that, it wouldn't be, you know what I'm saying?
Why you think she gets so much hate, though? Like, I genuinely don't know.
Why she gets so much hate? Because nobody likes to see... Nobody likes too much nice.
Too much nice?
Nobody likes too much nice.
So when you say too much nice...
You're too fucking nice. Like, if you Mr. Nice Guy, like, Mr. Never Having a Bad Day, you know, Mr. You're fucking, like, somebody can fucking come and wreck your car, and you're like, hey... Man, babe, buddy, don't worry about it. Dot, dot, dot. You know, like, come on, nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're too fucking, you know what I mean? You're so nice that it irritates people because they can't comprehend why nothing bothers you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's that, she gives off that image of like, I'm living life, and I'm living life the right way in the essence of, you know what I'm saying, and everything else. And it's like kind of wholesome and shit. So people, yeah, they want to see a flaw. They want to see, like, damn, you got some big ass feet or something. You know, you got corns or something. Like, you know what I mean?
But like you said, people, she has the image of the sweet American girl. Exactly. And so when people think of the sweet American girl, they're looking at like a image of too nice, in a way. So it's like,
And she appeals to other countries too that have, you gotta like figure like Germany and Russia and places that only like that blonde hair,
because they play her music like crazy too.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, so it's like she really it's a hell of an image. You know what I'm saying?
Hell of an image to have. And you boy, know? I know. Look, Troop Squad, I know Taylor Swift got some demons behind them doors, boy. And it's not even me trying to judge somebody before anybody even say that. No. It's just, bro, we all got demons that we fight. And the fact that I haven't seen a flaw. I haven't seen nobody come out, and I haven't seen her get exposed to nothing for no flaw, nothing that she had. Every time I see it, everybody loves her for how nice she is in public, which I'm not against that. But, yo, bro, I know behind closed doors, it's some demons going on. It's some shit going on. But that's just because we all human. We all got emotions. We all got stuff we got to deal with. And that's just real shit. The most people that walk every day with a smile on their face, they fighting the most heaviest shit. You just won't never know.
For sure. I mean, and like I said, but that's what I mean by, you have to work 10 times, 100 times harder sometimes. Because we as people, we want to see the flaws because we know they're there. And for the entertainer, it's that much harder to keep the motherfuckers in, to deal with all of that pressure, of having flaws and not being, you know what I mean? It ain't even okay to really have some of them now. You know what I'm saying? Like, if she'd have had certain flaws, that'd been cool in the beginning. But she wouldn't be who she was now. You know what I'm saying? So,
like, when you say certain flaws, it's just, like, basic or, like, little, like...
I mean, like, character flaws. Like, you can't... There's not a long list of, like, lovers and affairs and shit with Taylor Swift. Uh-uh. There's not a bunch of nasty rumors that come from her side of things about other people. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't make a bunch of raunchy ass music and stuff. Granted, she wears some little skirts and some stuff that make you say, "Hey, boy!" But
I'll bust that thing, you know, down, boy.
But
I only really seen when they I only seen when they really tried to roast her on Twitter, because I guess, you know what I'm saying, she ain't got no cheeks. But you know what I'm saying, I'm pretty sure Travis is not having no issues. It's going in every way, you know.
Yeah. But other that's than what that, I mean, like, even when, all right, you remember back when Kanye went on stage and took the mic from her at the award show?
Yeah.
All right, so she didn't even say nothing. Uh-uh. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, bro, like, if she, you know what I'm saying? Like, now you've made it to a point where, as though, if she was to say something crazy to somebody, even in the right, if somebody was to disrespect her or somebody snatch a microphone down and she said something crazy, people would probably think she was having a nervous breakdown. Oh, her and Kelsey are getting a divorce, or this, that, and the other, nigga. It's got to be something wrong now, because she's human and she did some human shit. You feel what I'm saying? Just because of the image. It's just like Will Smith. Nigga, this nigga had a fucking moment where motherfuckers, they thought Will Smith was fucking perfect. This nigga is perfect. He shit's gold the way these niggas was talking about Will Smith. That nigga went smack Chris Rock. Boy, they try to crucify that man. They try to crucify that man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I ain't gonna lie, that shit, it wasn't the right time for that.
But there isn't a time for that when you're Will Smith.
Nah, it's like we say all the time, when you're Will Smith and you know, and this is just my opinion, of course, if I'm Will Smith and I know the status that I have, the image that I have, yeah, I'm human. And we all know in the reality of the situation, for the moment, he probably felt like he won because, yeah, he smacked him. But look at how much he, look at how much that lost him as far as character wise. I don't think he
felt like that, bro.
Nah, he felt justified when he smacked Chris. Yeah,
but I don't think he felt like he won. I felt like it was like, I feel like with his delayed reaction, I feel like it was one of those things that he just felt like he had to do. I don't feel like it was anything else other than that. Because the nigga laughed at first. If you watch the clip,
he definitely laughed at first. He looks at Shorty. Shorty not looking. She ain't rocking with it. He like, all right, now I got to move your ass.
He looked over and was like, you know what I mean? Now it's like, shit, like, you done really hurt my feelings.
And I say one because when he smacked the nigga, look at how he walking back. Nigga, he walking back all cool, play. He sit down. He like, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. And he flicking his jacket and shit. And he looking, no, and I'm
I
like,
do get that. I
oh,
get
nigga,
that.
You feel like you the man, huh? You done smacked this nigga on national TV said, and oh, shit. Huh? Now look at you. Boy, you got banned for 10 years and you can't. Boy, good gracious.
Yeah.
But I get it. Like, bro, you human. Emotions run through. But at the same time, bro, you are Will Smith. You got to be able to determine them type of moments and shit.
Right.
And to do that to that man in front of all the millions of people. And you got banned for 10 years, nigga. You got
to. Yeah, no, that was crazy. If I was Will Smith, I'd have just roasted that nigga. I'd have beat that nigga in his own game. Cause yeah,
like, Chris Rock that, ain't even wait, wow, bow, bow, yeah. Straight like that. Start firing his ass up.
Oh, this nigga not even funny enough to be fucking with me like this. Let me get up on here, show this nigga what this comedy thing about. You know what I'm saying?
Or if anything, if Will Smith was really feeling mean or some shit, I would have said some shit like, I would have brought up money in the worst case scenario. Like, nigga, I got more money than you. Right. Or some shit.
Exactly. Something. You know what I mean?
Something. I would have, fuck, give me the mic back, nigga. I'm about to roast you, nigga. You ain't about to stand up here and roast me. I don't even care if this ain't in the script. Right. Nigga, fuck all that.
Yeah, nah, he definitely could have handled it several different ways. I'm not going to lie. I believe I was still in the feds when that happened. And I thought it was the most hilarious thing in fucking life. I'm telling my man, this is because we were watching the joint. I'm telling my man, nigga, they going to have to replay this. But I don't think they replayed it during the show, for sure. But yeah, that shit was all on the news and everything else, bro. Like, shit, niggas was dying over that shit.
Because it was unexpected. It was like, damn, you really just, Will Smith? He did what?
Right, but that shows how much that image means because just because he had that one moment, you can't name another time in fucking no fucking ever Will Smith and jumped out of pocket. He had one moment. Just fucking one.
I think, and I'm of course I ain't want, you know, I ain't want bro to get smacked, but I'm glad it kind of happened in a way because now it gets to kind of show people like, look, these people that you put up in this light, these American dream characters that you got, that you've been seeing on TV, nah, they just like you, bro. They human. They got emotions going through. And look what that happens, bro. Will Smith still human, nigga. The character that y'all put him as, hell no, nah, that shouldn't have happened. No way, it wouldn't have happened. But he's human. He's going to have emotions. Right. So, yes, it is shocking. But we still got to remember, bro, he human, bro. He bounced. This nigga, yeah, he crashed out.
That, and it also shows how unfair and the world is and how hardly we scrutinize people. The prison system and our law system is fucked and way too harsh and shit in certain areas. It's not harsh enough in others. Whatever. But anyway, it's like, this man, I don't even know how old Will Smith is, but motherfucker not no baby out here.
Shit, we about to find out.
Right, though. So while he pulling that up, it's like, bro, you give your whole entire life to being a philanthropist,
55.
Educating. 55. My man is 55. Bro, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air ain't fucking no fresh no more. You know what I'm saying? And so come on, bro. He give all this time, all this life, this, that, and the other. And off of one moment, come on.
And it's like, even when you look up his pictures, bro, even when you look up his pictures, they are all pictures where you like, yeah, this nigga ain't age a day over 30. It's like, it's that, that's what you, like you said earlier, the industry age. That, yeah, for sure. It's that keep him young. When you search him up on Google, bro, he's, all his pictures, it just look the same. It don't look like he aged at all. And that's just how the industry do, bro.
Nah, it is. It's, like I said, that shit all around, whether you are a actor or a writer, I feel like money is going to make hurdles. It always did. It's not nothing new. You know, what happens is that people create venues outside of, or business outside of the markets that we are trapped out of, or that certain people are trapped out of. Don't be surprised and stop acting like it's fucking different with anything else. I guess that's like my biggest thing with people in general is that there is a whole lot of woe is me, or like, oh, I have to fight harder than this and I have to do that. No shit. We all do. Unless you are in one of those super elite circles or even a higher up a circle or whatever, but everything runs in fucking circles. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. Look at every industry and all the companies that own everything. It's all fucking circles of the same damn money and the same people. So,
it's so like, yeah. The last thing I had on my mind was like, you know, Floyd Mayweather, they say he being held hostage in Dubai because he owes some people money. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck that. I don't believe it.
You don't believe it? Mm-mm. But he has been in Dubai. Like, for some reason, he can't leave. Like, nah, like, he's not able to leave Dubai right now. But they saying it's because he owes some people money.
Fuck that. Nah, look.
Floyd, and like I said, that. You know him and Gervonta is on Twitter saying, you know, Floyd, a bitch, I'll knock him out. Woody, woody, woo. I haven't dug deep enough to understand what caused Gervonta to wake up and start doing that. Some people saying it's for the upcoming fight because they saying, man, they did this last time and then they got in the ring together and squashed it. So they doing this for the fight he got coming up, which makes sense because they did do this last time. But then again, it could be some under the curtain shit. But then now they saying, though, as of right now, they saying Floyd held in hostage. He held hostage in Dubai because he owes some people money or he fucked some people over.
Man, look. I don't know. Him fucking somebody over is more realistic than him owing some money.
Allegedly.
You know what I'm saying? But you can't believe none of this shit. That nigga got so much money. It don't make no fucking sense. So I don't know. I don't know. But the Gervonta Davis thing, I mean.
If they fought, who you feel like would win? A lot of people saying, everybody saying Floyd. I'm gonna just go ahead and tell you now. Everybody saying Floyd. They saying, you know what I'm saying? They saying Gervonta wouldn't have been able to fuck with everybody that Floyd was fighting at 147.
Man, look, would have been able to is a motherfucking hell of a fucking term because we ain't in the woulda, coulda, bens. We are in the now. You know,
we outside. That's what I be saying though. That's what, like, when I seen that, when I see stuff like that. They'd be like, oh, Gervonta would have knocked Floyd out. I just don't pay attention to it because, like we always brought back months ago, it's like the nigga that's watching a football game saying what the quarterback should have done. Yeah, like, bro, you wouldn't have done that shit either. You probably would have done the same thing, bro. You're not in the game.
I think it'd be...
You're not even out there to see the fucking game. Now,
if there was the fight now, I think it was in by decision. And if it went to decision, there is a great chance that Floyd Mayweather would win. If that fight did not make it the whole fight, but it would be because, yeah, Davis knocked him out.
Yeah, that's my opinion. I feel like if you put Floyd and Mayweather in a ring, it would go to full fight and Floyd win by decision because Floyd got the technicality. So, yeah, of course. And at one point, people forget, I think he was training Gervonta at one point. He was training, bro. So I feel like if they did fight, it'll go to four rounds and it'll go to full fight. They win by decision. Mayweather, very technical. If it didn't go to full round, and you know, Floyd is, he ain't getting no younger. We all know. With the Paul fight, he was short in the breath. He had to, so I feel like if it didn't go to full fight, yeah, Gervonta would probably TKO or knockout.
I feel like if it went to Floyd, the full fight,
Floyd most definitely
the full fight, Floyd all the way. I mean, and like I said, I just don't ever see the fight taking place. But honestly, I don't know the fight would go the whole fight though, because Tank ain't no joke either. Like I said, it's just like. I think the most interesting fight would be right now for me would be a rematch between Tank and Ryan Garcia. Healthy weight, hydrated. I don't give a fuck what either one of these niggas weigh. I don't feel like that little couple of pounds, you know what I'm saying, is going to make or break, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I feel like that would be the best fight right now, would be a rematch between them two.
What was the reason last time? It was somebody didn't make weight.
What you mean? What, they fought? They fought before.
Yeah.
Yeah, they already fought.
But was it like somebody ain't make weight?
I don't know. That wasn't nobody. I don't remember why they did the hydration rule or whatever the hell that shit is. I ain't even know that any of that happened until after the fucking fight, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I feel like that shit dumb. I feel like that shit dumb.
I feel like, I don't know, I could be completely wrong, but I read somewhere on a blog, and I say completely wrong because it's a blog. It didn't have no credible source, but he was saying like the hydration rule was really made because niggas wasn't making weight. And I know in a sport like that, literally every pound counts, because it's like when it's like, go to the Devin Haney fight, they were saying Devin Haney was low key. He didn't make weight, or Ryan went overweight. And I think Ryan was over 3 pounds, and that shit made it. Oh my goodness, shit! You could see the difference in between, like the weight difference. And I think the hydration rule was just made because niggas was getting knocked out, and niggas wasn't really making weight. But like I said, I could be completely wrong because that was a blog, and he didn't have no credible sources. So I really like to know the real reason.
All right, but this is what I'm saying, right? This is what I mean by why I say that shit don't make no sense, right? All right, so like heavyweights and shit, right? Like you take Mike Tyson when he fought Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis weighed 249.25 pounds. Mike Tyson weighed 234 pounds. It's a big ass difference. You know what I'm saying? The nigga still fought. You know what I mean? Like it'd be I don't give a damn. If the nigga can't put the belt up, that's one thing. But you know what I'm saying? Like that dehydration thing, I feel like it robs the fight. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that shit robs the fight.
I mean, I think to a point it does, but I think it only robs the fight when niggas don't make weight, or when niggas have, because Ryan did have to go through a lot. So I think like the whole hydration rule is like kind of crazy to me, but in a way it's like niggas wasn't making weight before. Niggas wasn't even trying to do all that. And even now, like a 250, would you say 250 against a 230?
Yeah.
I think that shit, like, now it's.
Well, that's what I mean by why the sport has changed so much, because, like I said, it's a lot more about technicalities now. The whole, like I said, the truth of the matter is no, there's not really a big difference when those two fighters are really heavyweight champions or middleweight champions. If you are a champion status fighter, I do not feel like 1, 2, 3 pounds should make a great difference. You understand what I'm saying? Like, yeah, no, okay, you are not that great, then no, you should not fight a champion that is heavier than you. You know what I mean? But shit, if you are both fucking champions, nigga, a couple pounds shouldn't make the world of difference like that.
Yeah, if you a champion and you going against and you're challenging another champion, that means you want to move up weight classes. So yeah, you're going to be fighting niggas bigger than you. So don't even complain about none of that, because you're changing weight classes. I learned that in when I was playing UFC.
Yeah. Or even if you're not per se a champion by belt, but you're fighting, you're fucking number one contender, number two, number three. You know what I'm saying? Like, if y'all up there, man, fuck all that little weight shit. I don't give a nigga. That nigga 10 pounds heavier than you. You better knock that nigga the fuck out. You know what I mean? You better dance around and win by points. Whatever the case is, you do what you got to do to win. This is supposed to be boxing. God damn it.
I think, like, somewhat it has to somewhat make sense in a way, but like 2-3 pounds over, all right, yeah, cool. Yeah. But I do feel like it does have to make sense in a way.
For sure. Like, it's always made here, sense. I just think it's different now.
Because I don't want no nigga. 130 is a hell of a lot different from than 140, 145. It's as different, as little as it seems, it do make a slighter difference. But like 2-3 pounds over, if I'm like 145 and a nigga like 147, nah, They let me get in there with him. He 147. Nigga, I'm 145. That ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no, shit. That, I don't like. Like I said, I agree with you on that one because I don't like that technicality. Like, bro, it's 2-3 pounds over, bro. Kid, come on now. But other than that, nah.
So, let's see. There were traditionally 8 weight divisions in men's boxing. More divisions were added, and professionals' governing bodies now recognizes a total of 17 weight classes.
That's
you go
too
from
crazy.
8 to that's 17. That's what I'm saying.
But like, and I wonder how many of those weight classes them niggas are in there because of technicalities, because niggas is 2-3 pounds over.
Yeah, like,
that's why I'm like, all right, now y'all are just over whooping. Now y'all are overdoing
it. Yeah, look, super flyweight to bantamweight. Super flyweight is 115 pounds. Bantamweight is 118 pounds. Like, what the fuck is you talking about?
Yeah, nah, that's where I'm like, that might be a little.
Super bantamweight 122. So, it's like, I just, like I said, it just don't, you know what I mean? I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, it takes the interest out of it. That was why it was more interesting back then, because motherfuckers really had to fight. You're not really doing but so much entertaining when you're fighting somebody that weighs the exact same fucking weight as you. And you know what I mean? It's like, y'all niggas really have to be out here putting in some great work or whatever. Because you take a nigga that's a lighter weight and have better hand skills or whatever and better foot skills, and he knocking fucking everybody out, then it's just like, well, what the fuck?
Now, I think that's what everybody, some people do have that. I think it's like, back then when you got a 230 fight and a 250, back then it wasn't as really many technicality rules either. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
when niggas is looking at it, they like, yo, Tyson got heavy hands, he moved quick in his feet. He can knock the 254 nigga out. It's like, yeah, Tyson can do that, but Tyson can do that. Nobody else in these motherfucking weight classes is Tyson to be able to do that. And some people, like 10 pounds over, as little as it seemed, like 2-3 pounds over, I don't trip on that. But like 10 pounds over, a nigga can really break something on a nigga that's like real, real little. But other than that, 2-3 pounds over, I feel like they should still just duke it out. Like, it's so many technicalities coming into the sport. It is just killing the game. Even with football, like, they can't even really hit them a certain way, because it's like,
for sure,
man, you hit, it's like, bro, if you hit them too hard, they're gonna throw a flag on you. And it's like, bro, what is this, flag football?
Like, a lot of shit is getting soft now. And like I said, some things, yo, some
NBA
things good
NBA
for,
changing up
the shit be corny as fuck now. You be like, motherfuckers complaining about how many minutes they gotta play and shit like that. It make me, like, I swear, boy, I could not be the commissioner, because
niggas would be without a job.
Yeah, nigga, what? Oh, you can't. Okay.
You know how many niggas would love to be in the spot that you like to be in right now, young man? And you telling me you want what?
Bro, the NBA is becoming like I remember, like, when in school they did that No Kid Left Behind shit. That's what the NBA is coming to. The NBA is becoming, no, okay, well, it's unfair for there to be a superstar or a couple superstars. No, the whole team should be superstars. Oh, fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, that's not finna work.
No.
And then that's when the league start bitching, when they like, well, they all ain't getting along. What you thought was gonna happen, bro?
Right. Y'all trying to appease people. No.
And put them together. These niggas trying to separate and command their own team.
Right. We want the superstars to do what superstars do. And these niggas are supposed to be playing the whole motherfucking game. They supposed to be bloody and everything else still playing. They supposed to fucking, whatever the fuck happened, these niggas is playing. Like, I understand why Michael Jordan be like kind of upset when they be talking about other people being as like good as him in the SSL, because this nigga played basketball in the time when the shit was like football. You know what I mean?
It's like, that, and it's like, niggas forget he had a whole game where he played with the flu or food poisoning. Nigga went out there and dropped 20 with food poisoning. Like, and it was like, y'all can, and that's why he gets so mad, because he's like, bro, y'all comparing these niggas to me in a time where,
right,
nigga, we was playing, nigga, yeah, you get food poisoning, nigga, you still out there playing.
Be like, why is not, what's his name not playing? Oh, he might have a sprained back tomorrow.
Yeah, like what the fuck? Huh? Yeah, like, he's
personal day.
He's GTD.
What the fuck?
He's GTD.
Personal day, bitch.
Or what happened? He sprained his ankle. He's GTD.
Right.
Matter of fact, I think we're just going to let him off for the season. Like, nigga, what?
Man,
all he did was roll his ankle.
And now they do more preventative stuff, less practices. Why are we doing more preventative stuff and less practices to have less playing time?
It's just, I just feel like it's turning a little more arcadey.
Man, I feel like it's fucking up my money because I can't even bet on y'all motherfuckers now because niggas ain't fucking. I tell you what, that nigga LeBron's still good on the money though. Shit.
I think, how you think that shit gonna look when he retire?
What, the game or him retire?
Like when he retire, how you think the NBA, is it gonna, are you gonna, are you personally gonna feel right when NBA, when you get that news feed that LeBron retired? Are you gonna look at the NBA the same?
It's gonna be different because you are, I mean, he's been in the game so long, he is synonymous with basketball. You know what I mean? Like, but nah, I feel like I don't be watching basketball just for LeBron. I am a fan of his game and stuff and his journey for sure. But no, I do feel like LeBron has, he's done something that's going to go like both ways. He set a mark so high that some people are going to break their backs trying to somehow in some way surpass this motherfucker. And then it's also going to be a deterrent for a lot of people. But shit, the way the game going, these niggas ain't even going to get enough playing time and enough motherfucking control and stuff of their own careers to do the things that LeBron did anyway. You know?
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, that's really all I had, man. Unless you had some more you wanted to discuss.
Was there anything else on my plate for today? No, I think we got everything covered. We got the interviews. Shit, we got to get ready for that, June, soon. I got to take my medicine. You know, I roll up a beautiful potion. I suggest y'all do the same in some fashion. Past that, shit, nope. I'm good to go, bro.
It's been your boy, BTB Swaggy Troop Squad. Also, man, hold on. Take that back. It's been your boy, BTB Swaggy and BTB Gorilla. There you go. I didn't know how I was going to throw his name in there later. I was going to slaughter it. So I'd rather do that then. It's been a great time, man. Y'all just stay safe. And remember, go check out the store, man, at btbrevolution.com. Get you a little something. Also, discount code BTBSwaggy. You get 10% off. You know what I'm talking about? Go ahead and check it out, man.
Boom. Oh.
So you got to hit stop.
Yeah.